Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Divine Manifesting. This is Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I'm just flying high. Things are great. I'm excited. I'm getting married in, 11 days and moving into my new house in less than 2 weeks, and, you know, things are just going awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Christy.
Just had an awesome email from a guy's wife that's been taking the course with us and saying that his wife is, literally transforming before his eyes.
I believe
so cool.
That, Christy. You just won't believe what has been coming my way from all of the great, great response we've been having. So yay to us and yay to everybody who's doing their work out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power of self-love.
Absolutely. An even more exciting thing that's happening, we get to interview today one of my spiritual teachers. Her name is Debbie Ford, and Debbie is a New York Times bestselling, number one New York Times bestselling author. She has an internationally acclaimed workshop leader and trainer who is committed to the evolution of human consciousness. She's best known for her groundbreaking work known as the Shadow Process. She works with over 10,000 people annually through her workshops and teleseminars. She is amazing, and I know that during a very hard time in my life when I was going through a divorce, I read her book, Spiritual Divorce, and it felt like it was just a hand that kind of came and picked me up and kind of led me through the whole process. So I'd like to welcome our guest, Debbie Ford.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, Debbie. This is Rebecca. Thank you so much for taking the time and being on our show. Welcome.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Well, good. And I actually was coached by one of your coaches years ago, which gave me the inspiration to become a coach myself. And so you have an amazing coaching process through your coaching institution. So you're just doing a lot of amazing things in the world. So thank you.
You are welcome. We need more people doing more good things, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I know Rebecca and I talk about on the show all the time how to create the life you want and work with the universal laws. And one of the things that we talk about is we both agree that the secret is, you know, the secret that came out is a definite good thing because it's allowing people that were asleep to awaken a little bit. But there's kind of a little problem with it, too, is that everybody thinks that if you just think positive and you don't look at the emotions and if you don't really, as you put it, look at your shadow, it really can cause a lot of disappointment. And I know both of us have experienced, both of our clients, Rebecca as a therapist, marriage and family therapist, and myself as a coach, you know, have a lot of disappointment because they start applying it and things just don't manifest, or, you know, it just becomes very frustrating for them. And I know that one of the things we're going to talk about today is the dark side of the secret. So why positive thinking alone cannot bring deep, lasting personal transformation. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great conversation. I'm glad we're in it. You know, I think that what most people don't realize is that we are really here for the evolution of our soul. And although it's fun to play in the outer world and make more money and get a new car and create amazing things, because the outer world is really our playground, but it's really the inner world where we learn, where we evolve, where we open up, where we learn to love more, where we learn about the amazing beings that we are. And so inside of our internal world, we're programmed, and we're programmed maybe with things that we came in to learn and the beliefs that we have picked up along the way. And if you have a belief that you're not good enough or there's something wrong with you or you're unlovable or bad things are going to happen after something good happens, you can think positive thoughts all day long, but those underlying beliefs are going to come up and haunt you and sabotage your best laid plans. So I think for most people, you know, everybody's not meant to be a millionaire. Everybody's not meant to have, you know, the relationship that they dreamt about when they were 12.
And that's not a bad thing. As you're saying that, Debbie, I'm thinking, that's not a bad thing. I mean, there's so many great lessons in, you know, going it alone or whatever. So it's like, I think if we allow our minds to just get programmed that there's only one path that is the true path of happiness, boy, we're just screwed.
Screwed, exactly, yes.
So, yeah, that's a great point.
And the thing that we need to know is that when we are trusting in the divinity of the universe and our greater path, we will be the happiest we could ever imagine being, because we're programmed to, you know, be, to have a particular lifestyle and at the highest level. So if we can just surrender our will for the divine will, that is when the magic of this life really unfolds for everybody.
That's so true. That's
absolutely
very true.
Kind of off the subject, but something has popped in my head, and I always, you know, in divine intuition, go with it type of thing. You know, we've all been hearing what's going on with Britney Spears and all that. Do you believe it's because she's not paying attention to, like, her shadow and you know, that dark part of her type of thing and sabotaging all the success that she's having or had?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm just doing my final day copy editing on my sixth book, which is coming out on March, Why Good People Do Bad Things and How to Stop Being Your Own Worst Enemy.
Oh, beautiful.
And Brittany could be my poster child right now.
Yes.
You know, we self-sabotage. All of our self-sabotage is an externalization of our internal shame.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have shame? We have shame because our shame helps us to eventually heal and grow and crack open. So I see what she's doing is her soul really pushing her to crack open. I mean, unfortunately, you know, she, or fortunately, because maybe all the people watching her will say, oh my God, I don't have to go that far. You know, but really, she is just an externalization, an outer projection of what most of us do. You know, she's at the extreme of success. So of course, she's going to show us the extreme of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people have ruined their relationships, you know, diet for 6 months and then go, and in 3 weeks of, you know, splurging, ruin everything they worked for, say the wrong thing, let that slip come out of their mouth, or drink too much, or overstep their, you know, partner's boundaries. I mean, it happens to all of us. So I think this is the shadow side. Yes, this is our darker impulses, and we will self-sabotage, not because we're bad people, but because it just is a very clear sign that there's a bigger you that's wanting to be birthed. And how do we do that? We have to get out of the pain and the small and limitlessness of our egos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to make the ego wrong. We all have one. We all need one. But when we start believing all of our ego stories, then that, of course, prevents us from living our highest expression in this life.
Absolutely. And I love how you say things. The ego's gotten such a bad rap, but like you said, we all need the ego, or we wouldn't be who we are. I just like how you put things where there's no judgment on anything you say. It's like it's not a bad thing what you're going through, or if we're going through a growth period or going through the self-discovery. Most people think, oh, she's in a bad mood or she's going through something bad. And it truly isn't bad. It's you're opening, you're growing, you're expanding, and you're integrating. So I love how you put that.
Yeah, unfortunately, of course, a lot of people get beat up by our bad behavior. Well, we're growing and evolving. There's people in the wake, you know, like with Brittany, her kids and her family and people who love her. But, you know, ultimately it's not. I mean, if we're the one that's self-sabotaging, or if we're in self-sabotaging, you know, somebody's wake, they're all there really for the same reason. And this book is about really the healing process is the same whether you're the victim or the victimizer.
Mm-hmm.
And for the shadow, it's always, you said it in the beginning of your show, it's the power of love, and not in the way that we think, like, oh, everything's so perfect and everything's so good. No, but to bring the light to the darkness, to know that sometimes life is hard, it is stressful, it is painful, it is, oh my God, so disheartening. And how can we love ourselves even when we're going through that?
Yeah.
Because we are going to go through that. We're going to lose people. We're going to lose our money. We're going to do stupid things.
And, you know, and I think the key to all of this, I know Christy and I are doing the self-love program right now, and it's just been so, you know, something that I've been holding on to so tight right now and talking to so many people about that is, you know, I think it is when you look at the entire journey, we're supposed to be getting the ugly up and out. You know, we're supposed to be recognizing the part of us, the shadow side that we want to be releasing, and then letting it go. And there's nowhere in that contract, in that agreement, that says, and when it comes up and out, beat yourself up over that. How could you have been carrying that? How could you have done? You know, so I've been talking to so many people lately about, you know, when you go through that growth period, when you're letting the shadow or the dark sides of yourself come up and out because you're ready to recognize them and release them, be gentle. I mean, just cut yourself a break. It's like it doesn't always come out pretty, and nor is it supposed to be. It's like be your own best friend and say, that's okay. I mean, you know, try better next time. If you catch yourself gossiping or you catch yourself doing something stupid or silly, it's like, oh, that's okay. Just do better next time, rather than allowing the critical part of us to just take over and beat ourselves up. So I agree with Christy. As you're saying it, you're making it so clear, Debbie, that this is a process, and, you know, allow yourself the gentleness and the loving kindness of letting yourself move through that process and release it. And, you know, don't add to it by beating yourself up and tearing yourself apart. You know, we are human after all. So
absolutely. Yeah, and what I hear you saying is really forgiveness, because ultimately we have to forgive ourselves for being human, forgive ourselves for being hard on ourselves, forgive ourselves for being flawed, for having dark impulses, for being weak, for suffering from addictions. And it's then in forgiveness, knowing that, you know, we are here to learn to love the totality of our humanity and our divinity.
Love it all. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Even we have to be so careful, because even the release is saying there's something wrong and I have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to help people with is, how do we integrate? How do we embrace it? How do we, because we might need all these dark parts that we've made wrong, we actually need.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know when we're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we let it go, if we release it, then we have no access to it. You know, you might need to be mean if somebody is coming in and going after your child.
Mm-hmm.
You better be mean, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You better be tough. You better be angry to say, hey, cut it out. Stop it. That's not all right. And so how do we really, it's such a hard paradox between really embracing it and loving it and not being controlled, you know, still not living. We're so trained to be dualistic and to want to get rid of. Instead
maybe
of
how, what we're just releasing is the judgment and the resistance to it,
yeah,
and allowing the wisdom to remain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels really good. You're saying that, it's like, that's it. That's
very good. Yeah, exactly. And to that, we don't know. You know, that's the humility of God's law.
Mm.
The, I don't know why I need this. I wouldn't know why I need. Yeah, I always tell people, because I lead the shadow process, and really the work that I do in person is the stuff that I really love. I mean, I write because I'm a teacher, not I'm not a writer who teaches. I'm really a teacher who writes. And one of the things that I see over and over and over again is that, you know, people show up, great people, wanting to get rid of themselves. I mean, that's all we're doing, right? I've got to get rid of myself. I've got to get rid of my humanity. I've got to get rid of my ego. I've got to get rid of my fear. And to be in that humble place where we have no idea of why we are designed the way we are. I mean, I hated that I was controlling and I was bitchy and I was loud and had all this whole string of qualities, which now I always share when I'm teaching, that I wouldn't be able to teach what I teach and the way that I teach it if I wasn't controlling, you know, if I wasn't manipulative, if I didn't understand humans and always be giving them carrots for why they should go deeper, go through through the pain. And
amen to that. Amen to that. You know, Debbie, I grew up, and everybody, I can still hear my mother going, oh, my God, I could hear you all the way down the block. Because this is the loud woman sister club, I guess, we belong to. And I remember it was like such a source of shame. It's like, here I had this voice, this megaphone voice that I was always told I was so loud. And it was about, I want to say, you know, a few years back, I started turning that around and saying, you know what? God gave me a loud voice because maybe he thinks I have something to say. And that just felt so healing rather than fight. Like, oh, I really need to quiet my voice, you know. Gosh, am I offending, you know? And I get people like, oh, my God, I could hear you all the way across the restaurant. You know, and now I'm sort of going, good, because I have something to say.
Yeah.
I love that I'm high-fiving you right now, Debbie.
Yeah. Same thing with me, Rebecca. I remember when I was a little girl, my dad would sit at the kitchen table, and I would just be on and on, talking and talking, and he'd say, I will give you a quarter if you just shut up for 1 minute. And 2 seconds would go by, and I'd say, is a minute up yet? Because I just had so much to say. And
it's
now
not
I'm
worth
paid.
A quarter.
Now I'm getting paid as a professional speaker to speak, so it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. That's so great. Oh, God, Debbie, that was a healing in and of itself.
Well, Debbie, will you explain for our listeners that maybe don't know about the shadow process what it is and how you do it and maybe even some tips that they can do to help integrate themselves?
I would love to. Well, the shadow process is a 3-day retreat, which is really the taking back of all the disowned aspects of ourself, not just the dark, not just the selfish, you know, uncaring and sensitive part, but also the loving part, the brilliance, our magnificence, our creativity, our beauty, our sexiness. I mean, women really need to embrace that. And it is the process that really healed my heart and allowed me to be who I am today and do what I do today. So I am passionate about it. I'm passionate about this people coming together. You know, there's something that can happen in a group of 100 or 200 people that can't happen in a group of 1 or 10. So I really love the process of, first, how do we unconceal our shadow? And I'll give a few tips. So, first of all, one of the things that everybody can do, and maybe you ladies want to do it with me, tell me something you like best about yourself, like your favorite quality.
Humor. Sorry, Christy.
You stole mine. Damn it.
No, you're really funny, too. We can have the same one. We're hysterical,
okay.
And we're so charismatic.
We can be a different one. So, funny and charisma, would those be different ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I want you to look and see what would be the negative opposite of funny or charisma.
Obnoxious.
Okay, so obnoxious would be the shadow that has birthed your funniness.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say a little more about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How we are created, how we create this false self, this persona, is not in a reaction, and we're getting back to this law of attraction, you know, it's not because I say, oh, I want to grow up and be funny. I mean, even if you said it, you know, you just can't do it.
Right.
But we make that choice in our subconscious from, I don't want to be whatever the other thing is.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't want to be obnoxious, that's the shadow. And what do? You start wrapping yourself.
Oh.
If I was standing in front of you, I'd be going around in circles. You'd start wrapping yourself in this veneer of humor to hide your obnoxiousness because somebody, and maybe you can even remember, told you, oh, you're obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that. You're obnoxious. You're being obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
So as a child, you decided, and we all do it with something, we decided, I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be that. It's bad to be that. I'm going to lose love. I'm going to lose approval.
Mm-hmm.
And there we set out on proving that we're not obnoxious. So how you're proving it is by being funny.
Oh, my God, Debbie, you are brilliant. This is good stuff. Like, you don't know this, but I'm sitting back here going, oh, my gosh, this is brilliant. Are you having the same effect, Christy?
Oh, absolutely.
This is so good, Debbie.
Yes.
All right, Christy,
let's
do Christy's, because as you two get it, all the thousands of people listening are going to get it.
Yeah.
So, Christy, yours was charisma?
Yeah.
What would the opposite of charisma be?
Kind of boring.
Boring. Okay. So can you see it?
Yes.
I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be another one of those dull humans.
Yeah.
So you wrap yourself up, you learn how to be charming, You learn how to be extra charismatic, and so nobody will ever meet that dull or boring you.
That's
and that's how we, I know, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
My sister said I'm so good at this, and I understand it like nobody else, because I had the biggest shadow in America. it wasn't because I was all just wise and brilliant. It was because I had so many, and still do, of these shadows.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can now love the boring, dull part of you, if you can really, and I don't mean like in your head love, which is what most people do, but I'm talking about in the heart. Like, could you have a healing of your heart to love that little obnoxious child? And that is, you know, that's what you were saying. That's what you're teaching now, right? The self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, I have been training and teaching people around the world for 12 years. I have never showed up to lead a course and not found another huge shadow myself. My most recent one I led 2 weeks ago, I got disappointed. And so what do? I always, it doesn't matter how many books I have, how many bestsellers, how much radio, how much TV, no matter what I do, it's never enough.
Ooh.
I have to look like, how could, after all, somebody who's done hundreds and thousands of things like I have, it not be enough? Somebody who's disappointed. And so what do? I have to work always
so hard
to make people pleased, to make people, and everybody is so pleased with me, but yet I'm the one left, you know, with my energy drained. So that's why it's so important to go to the shadow, to find out, like, what's created me? What's driving me? What is, I mean, when I wrote The Dark Side of Light Chasers, it was literally a process that so radically shifted who I was at my core. I thought, why doesn't everybody understand this, really? And the problem with it is, of course, because I know that both of you know a lot about it, even when you know about it, unless you're really inside of it every day, we have that denial mechanism that doesn't allow us to see our own shadows.
That's why, though, Debbie, your program, and Christy and I say this all the time, it's not that you're lazy, it's not that you're incompetent, it's not that you're stupid. You know, if you hear this concept and then you don't apply it, it's that it's just, you know, there's too much programming out there to not do it. And that's why I want to say, your workshops, your programs, your book, that's why it's so important, because we need people to make us accountable. We almost need that guide to walk us. I don't know about anybody else on the call, but I know I do. I'm that person who needs somebody at the gym saying, you're not done now, are you? Because I'd be the one sitting on the weight station, you know, tuning in my iPod for 20 minutes, you know, unless somebody was behind me going, a few more crunches. And so I just think, you know, having that guide, like you do so beautifully, taking somebody, guiding them into that deeper level. I mean, I've been doing this for how many years? And in 5 minutes, you just walked me through someplace I had never been before. So it's like, it really does take somebody like you to, you know, to guide somebody and to show them. And so your question was, why don't people do it more often? Because I think we really do need to just surrender to the fact that, I don't know, maybe there are some people out there who can just, you know, pick a concept up and totally apply it. Christy's actually really good at that. Myself, I need, you know, 12 coaches and, you know, 30 cheerleaders and maybe even a taser gun to get me going. So, you know, but, you know, but I'm gentle with myself.
Yeah, I can tell.
I go easy on myself 3 years later when I haven't really applied anything. But, yeah, so I think that your work, Debbie, is just, oh, my gosh, over here so applauded, because I think you really do set the steps for a woman or, you know, anybody to follow through. And, you know, there might be a desire, but now we know how. And you've been there, so you're showing us how. You're guiding us brilliantly. So thank you so much. My goodness.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I said in the beginning of the show, I literally felt like when I read your book, Spiritual Divorce, when I was going through my divorce and I was separating from my previous partner, you know, I literally felt so much strength and so much help in that book. I really felt like it was okay and I was okay and there was nothing wrong with me. It was okay what was happening, and I forgave myself a lot. So thank you so much for each and every word that you wrote in that book, because it really did help me through a very, very, what some might say, a difficult time. And I, the whole process was beautiful because I learned so much about myself. And, you know, I didn't realize that how much personal growth I would experience just by going through something like a divorce.
Oh, my God, really. Breakups are probably one of the number one ways that, you know, the soul cracks us open right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we either get diseases or we lose our money or somebody around us gets sick or somebody betrays us. But you know, separation, breakups, and the amazing thing I see as somebody who, you know, leads so many programs is that a year later, 99% of the people, if they're willing to do the deep work, are so grateful that they went through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask, I know I've heard this, I've heard you say this before on, I think you might have been on an interview with Ariel, which I don't know for most of our listeners, Ariel Ford is Debbie Ford's sister. And Ariel Ford has also written a number of books, and she was in the publicity industry for a long time and launched a lot of best-selling, New York Times best-selling authors like Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, a lot of the people that we, you know, in the circles listen to and learn from and definitely become enlightened by. And I remember her interviewing you, I think it was, and you were saying that similar to what we're talking about, but it's like you always felt that when you would get on Oprah or when you would get your New York Times, you know, bestseller, then you were going to finally feel enough, you were going to finally feel happy, and those things came and went, and you finally had that realization that, wow, you know, those aren't the things, those aren't the events that made me happy. Could you talk more about that?
Yeah, and I write about that whole experience in the best year of your life when I realized that, you know, all the things, I kept chasing things, and being disappointed. So see, the big shadows are always there.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after the Oprah, I mean, every author, that's what we dream about. Let me be on Oprah. Let me be on the New York Times list. You know, and I did 3 Oprah shows. Then they re-aired all 3 Oprah shows. And still, it was like instead of being happier, I was actually more depressed because I realized that this fantasy life that I was waiting for, that I thought would actually bring me everything I ever wanted, wasn't going to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all heard it. You know, it's just one of those things that most people don't really, you can't grasp, because you're so convinced, and this is the trick of the psyche, really, if we're so convinced, if I only achieve this, if I only find my soulmate, if I only get healthy if I'm sick, if I only make more money, if I only get this job, if I only... You know, we're addicted to fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and we're addicted to the one day, someday it's going to be, and then being face to face with, oh, my God, I've been on Oprah Winfrey 3 times, and I was more depressed than I'd ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met a man who came to one of my seminars, and he was so funny because he was a very, very wealthy man. And he came to congratulate me, and he said, how you doing? Wanted to check in, congratulate you on all your success. He goes, how you doing? I said, well, you know, actually, I've never been more depressed in my life. And then he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, when I first made my first, I think it was like $100 million, some outrageous amount of money, you know, I went into a severe depression. And we started talking about that. And so that's really the crux of the, you know, if we're going to have a great life, we're going to have to look to see what we're chasing in the outer world and how we, what we believe we will feel when we get it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the trick. See, I was thinking that when I got it, I would feel enough.
Yeah.
Or I would feel loved. Or I would feel respected. I had all these things that I thought I would feel. And, of course, it's an inside job, so nobody in the outside can do it for you. And so when I realized it, I had to go inside and acknowledge myself every day. I had to respect myself. I had to really make... And so if we look at the feeling that we're searching for, that we want, you know, I'm always like, oh, my God, one day I'm going to get to retire. Well, how am I going to feel when I'm laying on the beach in the south of France? I'm going to feel happy and relaxed. Okay, so then I wake up in the morning now, and I have to say, what could I do today to feel happy and relaxed?
Mm-hmm.
Because those feelings already exist, and how we're created as human and divine beings is to use the outer world to find our soul's deepest desires. So if we look at the goal, we say, okay, this is the goal. This is how I'll feel. Oh, this is the feeling that my soul is chasing right now. Then we can give it to ourselves each and every day. We can find little things that, you know, what's going to relax me right now? I'll take a bath. What's going to relax me? I'm going to go for a walk. What's going to relax me? I'm going to take 5 minutes and turn off my phone. You start to look for ways and realize that you are responsible. And this is our growth, right? This is our evolutionary edge. This is, you know, to give ourselves that which we believe the outer world can give to us.
Exactly. And I think on the same token, though, it's the work that you're doing, too, which is to look at the saboteur that is taking us from that space. I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, remembering a time in my life where I wanted more spaciousness. I want to create more time. I want to create more expansiveness in my life. And I did a great job doing it, but found that there caught myself when I saw it slipping away. Because here I then created all this space in my day, in my week, in my life. And what did I start to do? Fill it up. You know? So it's like I'm watching this, like, ooh, little saboteur come in. And it's like, you know, I didn't, it's almost as you're saying this, I'm thinking, yes, we need to be so vigilant about, you know, recognizing and giving ourselves that gift, but also really watching where that other part of us wants to come in. And then, you know, you dug this beautiful, you know, this hole for yourself, and then it wants to start filling it back up again. So it's almost like a twofold process. I don't know. Do you think so, Debbie, or not?
Yeah, but I would just take it one step maybe further and look and see, what did you want to feel by having more space?
Exactly, exactly. And
the feeling was
connectedness,
yes,
to my children, connectedness to my,
yeah,
life. And that's what I was saying is, you know, yes, I started to achieve that, and but I didn't watch in the back door. What came in was that part of me that wanted to then fill it back up again. Got nervous,
yeah,
with too much space, too much freedom. And so it's almost, that's what I was saying. It's like, ooh, watching both sides of my mind, that I needed to be very appreciative of the feeling I was going after, and also watching where the old me wanted to just fill it back up again. So I'm wondering if that happens quite a bit with people, and then they end up in the same place that they were before. It's like, you know, maybe I got a new job, but all of a sudden I'm just as busy at this new job than I was, you know, when I was working 9 to 5 or whatever. So,
yes, it definitely is a pattern. But again, I would just kind of look and see what is really the deeper hunger that's,
uh-huh,
really needed. And how do we, the question I hear is, how do we fill the deeper hunger so we don't have to keep repeating the same patterns over, mm-hmm, and over again?
So is it just being mindful? Being very aware of what it is we really want?
Yes, and I think, you know, as we started, you know, to look and see, how do I love myself? How do I be so sweet and gentle with myself today? You know, what am I longing for? What needs am I trying to get met? It does, that's why I love communities. That's why I've created a community and asked people to really put themselves out there in, you know, programs and different things where you have the feedback loop to heal the deeper shame, which I believe is why we are here. It is really to heal the deepest feelings of unworthiness. Because if you think about it, you know, most of us are going to live inside our ego structure maybe 80 or 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, we're humans, for God's sakes, right? So the question is, well, why would we be born to live inside our ego structure? You know, to learn to be divine inside the ugliness and unholiness of that, you know, part of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I think it is. It's we are probably going to slip back unless we continue to put, I would say, our highest self first,
mm-hmm.
the self beyond what we want or don't want or can do or can't do, beyond our flaws, our imperfections, our addictions, our impulses. And that is a very hard thing to do for a human.
I like what you're saying, too, about putting a community around us, because I think, you know, when we've forgotten, well, you know, our purity, when we've forgotten our holiness, it's always lovely to have those people around you who remind you that you're not your addiction, you're not your failure, you're not your, you know, you're not your misspoken words, you know, you're just that pure being. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Having that community of people who can stand beside you and call you out, but also remind you of your absolute purity, it's just essential. I don't know if we can do it without that.
Absolutely. Debbie, Rebecca and I, for the past 5 years, have been writing a book on female competition, how, you know, women compete with each other, and it's just another form of you know, trying to look outside of yourself to get approval or to even, like, you know, feel better about yourself, because if you can, you know, if you have cuter hair than her or a better body, or for, you know, her husband, your husband's better looking than hers or more successful, or you kind of slightly, the ego slightly feels better about yourself. And, you know, same is true as if you're feeling really good about yourself and then a, you know, successful woman walks in, or, you know, like, such as yourself. I mean, you're just such a goddess. You've had so much success, you know, and it's just, it's amazing, and I feel very inspired by you. As someone that maybe wasn't in their connection with their divine would feel maybe less than, or God, you know, look at me, I don't compare to her. And that's something that we are really, we have a mission to help women return back to that essential goddess, that divinity that is in each and every single woman and in every man. But ours is more about female competition and how, as women, we just do that comparative mind. Do you find that a lot?
Yeah, and I love that you're writing that. I think it's a really important book. I don't know why it's taking you 5 years to do it, ladies,
it's
but
done.
I love that
it's
you're
done.
Doing it.
No, it's
We're proud
done.
To say it is done. Thank
Sorry.
You. For...
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. You know,
a little sore subject over here. Okay. Oh, that's funny.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah, because if you're in competition, you better hurry up. I'm on book six. Let's go. See, that's what would be good if you were really in competition. You'll get done with that book in the next 60 days.
It's a good thing we wrote this book, because we're interviewing Debbie Ford today. We'd be so screwed.
Exactly. So finding the gift, you know, yes, we're all in. But again, even our jealousy and our envy, we can use it in our favor, you know, to use it as a gift. I mean, I feel, again, like jealousy and envy are just projections showing us how we're not being our greatest self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what that competition is. You know, we want to be greater. We want,
yes.
So maybe we identify with our husband's good looks, or, you know, our money or our diamond ring or, you know, some outer success. But ultimately, I think, again, you know, inside we are built with the mechanism to become the highest and greatest expression of ourselves. And when we are living it, when we are making choices each and every day, and that's all that matters. You know, it's easy for people to not do anything because they're thinking, oh, I'm so far behind. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be $100,000 in debt, but if you take 5 actions this week that are moving you forward and getting out of that debt, you start to feel good inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love competition and envy and jealousy, because actually my sister always, Arielle, always used that to get me going. I'd have a book idea, and she'd go, because she's my agent, you know, well, if you don't write it, so-and-so is going to write it. And that would get me in my chair writing it. Mm-hmm. So for us to find out, like, really, when I see you doing something that's exciting, what is it? What's the feeling I think that I'll get if I have it? You know, what's the esteem that I'm transferring over on you that I don't have?
Yeah, and that's inspiration. That then becomes just inspiration. This person inspires me to have something more than, you know, have more or have different. And that, you're right, that is a beautiful thing. I think that's how we evolve, that's how we grow, I see it as not letting our jealousy get in the way and stop us, but using it, like you said, using it as that inspiration.
Motivation.
Yes, motivation, yeah.
Maybe you can't be inspired in the beginning, but at least get motivated and take some radical action in your life.
Yeah, that's exactly
absolutely.
It.
For me, it was just a personal experience of, you know, I was always coming from a place of, you know, like you said, it's like a lot of us feel the same way. We just do it differently. It was never good enough. My diamond ring was never good enough. My house was never good enough. This was never good enough. And so I would go outside and compare myself. And when Rebecca and I started working on this book and really working together, I'm able to look at something and go, ooh, you know, and instead of feeling that jealousy, or even if that jealousy does still come up, I'm able to shift it a lot quicker so that I'm back in that place of feeling good and that, you know what, it is possible for me to create something like that. It is possible for me to have that or even just feeling that, you know what I have right now is enough. I'm enough. And I'm perfect, whole, and complete just as I am. I'm completely divine and, you know, that goddess lives within me and I don't need that thing X, Y, and Z to make me feel like a better person or to be more beautiful or to be more successful or whatever it is. So we're very excited about it. It's a project, obviously. It's a labor of love.
Well, yeah, but I think that...
So when's it going to be done?
It's done.
It's finished.
We're just putting all the finishing touches on it and getting it ready for print. So, yeah, this within the last couple months, we are actually finished, and we're so happy because... You know, for me, Debbie, when you're talking about those inner feelings, there has never been anything more empowering, more, I don't even know what the word is, but when I have been in a group of women, even just one other woman, a best friend, or, you know, when I've been collaborating with that person, and our minds are all out of competition, where we're all working together, there's been nothing more uplifting for me than that feeling of, God, we can change the world if we were actually united, you know. And I don't think it just stops at women. I think just as humanity, when we're all collectively working together, helping each other out, pulling each other along, you know, hey, what do you need? I'm right here for you. That feeling for me is the one that just propels me forward. And so I think, you know, if I can do anything on this earth to stop women from tearing each other down, but instead really assisting each other, helping one another out, boy, that would feel so fulfilling. So that, I know Christy and I together felt like that was the driving force to just get women to start changing their minds about one another and not hold each other, you know, at arm's length or, you know, hold each other suspiciously, but to really look at each other and say, oh my gosh, you can help me, I can help you, and we can work as a team. So,
absolutely. You ladies are really the do-gooders, aren't you?
What's the shadow to that?
That's a shadow laugh.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you can see it. We feel passionate about this. So.
Love it. It's important.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So your book is coming out March 1st, Debbie?
March 1st. Why
Wow.
Could people do bad things? Number 6. It's really amazing. I never thought I'd write number 2, Ella, number 6.
Mm. How did you get started? We have a couple more minutes, and why don't you just tell our listeners how you became an author. I think I know your story, but go ahead and tell our listeners, because it's a great story.
I was a bitch, and I had a big shadow. I had a lot that needed to be healed, and I didn't want to. Really, it was my divorce that I didn't want to leave my son. I had a young son. He was let's see, a year old. He's just turned 13, so 12 years ago. And I really wanted to be able to have an at-home office and be with him. And my sister, I was already teaching at the Chopra Center with Deepak Chopra, who really started my career. And, again, I was using work that really changed my life, and I couldn't understand, like, why can't anybody just say it in English? Why is everybody saying it so difficult, these concepts, that when I finally put them all together, it was like, wow, this is what the shadow is. This is how we heal our inner pain. This is how we can integrate and digest the totality of ourselves. And so Arielle just told me to, she said, if you write, I'll do everything else. And so I started writing, and then I still knew, I mean, when I was going through my divorce, I kept getting, when I was going, why is this happening? Oh, my God. I kept getting that I was supposed to write this book called Spiritual Divorce. And I always joke because I said that's the last thing I wanted to write was a book called Spiritual Divorce. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write a book called How to Kill My Husband and Get Away with It.
Right. And we would have followed up with, we got the girlfriends who will bring the shovel.
Yeah.
And no questions asked because we work as a team. Now, you also are connected with JFK University, right?
Yes, they have adopted all of our coaching programs. So I train people to be integrative coaches, life coaches. I also train therapists to do work in our blueprint model in the shadow. And we're doing a spiritual divorce training as well. And if people go to DebbieFord.com, they can read all about it. And, you know, we are really committed. We're all over the world. We have people. It doesn't matter where people live because we do this. We do most of our training by phone, except for a few intensives. So we have, I think, coaches in 17 countries now.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Did you start the integrative coaching yourself, or how did that come about?
I did. People just come to the shadow process, and they're so turned on that they wanted to learn more. So Cliff Edwards, one of the guys who did the shadow process, him and his wife, who's still Cliff's on staff with us now, but said, you've got to train people in this work. And I knew that because I had been in therapy for about 12 years, and I always left feeling frustrated and not really getting it and being resentful at how much money I had spent. And so I just knew that there was something for people that learn the way I learn. I think there's different ways of learning, and some people do really well in therapy. But for me, it was just a whole modality that always left me, like, I wanted to go deep inside. I needed to heal between my head and my heart. And shadow work is the work of the heart warrior. It's about the integration of the intellectual and the spiritual and the emotional. And so I just started teaching. We did our first training. I think we had 80 people in it. I mean, it just, people get turned on about it because it is exciting work. It's very, very exciting when you've suffered and you go through the same patterns and you feel bad about yourself, to find a shadow that can unravel, you know, a whole way of being, some way that you've just created yourself that doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for being on our show today, Divine Manifesting. We've really, really enjoyed it. I know I have, at least, and it sounds like Rebecca has because she's bouncing all over the place.
So. I just think all our listeners out there are probably buzzing and bouncing all over the place. So thank you so much, Debbie. You're phenomenal.
Yes. It's been enlightening and fun all at the same time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
And we look forward to your book coming out in March, when good people, what is it, when the good people
do bad things.
Fantastic.
Stop being your own worst enemy.
Oh, that's great. I love that title. So thank you so much, Debbie.
Yes, thank you, Debbie.
All love.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next, or hear you. We'll talk to you next week on Divine Manifesting, next week at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And if you need to get a hold of me, this is Christy Whitman. You can get a hold of me at Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, or visit my website, ChristyWhitman.com, or Seven Essential Laws, that's Seven Essential Laws, or Rebecca Grotto at
give them your website.
Rebecca Grotto at ATT.net. That's REBECCAGRADO or RebeccaGrotto.com.
Thanks so much and have a great week.
Bye. This was great. Bye-bye.